Welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. Welcome to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that does just that, pulls back the curtain. Which, by the way, I'm Paul Nichols, your host, president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in State College, Pennsylvania. That's right in the center, Happy Valley, where Penn State University is. For those of you that are listening on international channels, I hope this finds you well. I'm excited to be with you today, as I normally am, and I'm going to review the current state of our market through our market update, which we do every show, which is every couple weeks. And then I just wanted to hit on a little tidbit this particular week pertaining to Social Security benefits. A question that we get very often, when do I activate? When should I look at activating them? When should I turn them on? And so on. So we will briefly have a discussion as it relates to that, because a lot of people are wondering about Social Security. But here at Financial Abundance, we believe in an academic approach to investing. We believe in the academic research that has been developed over the last 50 years from many notable professors and academics, including several Nobel laureates, a recent one, Eugene Fama. And we believe that the market and investing in the market is a relatively simple process logically. Emotionally, it's a little more difficult, but we believe that all the prices of goods and services are factored into the current price, and only new and unknowable information changes that. And so when we look at the academic approach to investing, it's based on a few basic principles. One is that the market is efficient, and this is science that originally was developed by Eugene Fama and then expanded on in the last 50 years. We believe in modern portfolio theory, which is the concept of dissimilar price movement. You don't want to own just umbrella companies, and you don't want to just own suntan lotion companies. But Harry Markowitz, when he won the Nobel Prize for modern portfolio theory, got validation that, in fact, from an academic perspective, we never know where the returns are going to come from in the market. And in order to capture market returns, we need to be in the market as a whole, which leads to the third item, note, nugget, principle, bullet point, if you will, and that is diversification. So the market's efficient, modern portfolio theory, invest in all of it through asset classes and understand the idea of diversification, rebalance, and of course, owning equities goes without saying, because, you know, when you own an equity, a stock or a bond, ladies and gentlemen, a mutual fund, what you own is really a share of a company and all the creative entrepreneurial energy that comes from developing businesses. You know, oftentimes, and I'm going to get on a little bit of a tangent, if I may, I hear a lot of doom and gloom from people in the financial arena as it relates to our debt loads, America's current deficit, and the fact that we can't seem to balance a budget annually, and all these other things. But no one really speaks to how strong the private enterprise side of our country is, and the fact that the last several years with the 08 debacle and the credit crunch because of Fannie Mae, et cetera, a lot of companies got their balance sheets streamlined. They did more work with less people. I found that there's a lot of companies that are cash rich. They've got a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. They really have continued to do what entrepreneurs do, and that is capitalize on innovation and create marketplaces to fill voids and needs that Americans or people have globally. So, you know, the idea of investing in the market, it really, if you start to understand some of the basics, it becomes a real no-brainer. Because when you look at the actual data, since they've been keeping data with roughly about 100 years now, we can look at the market and realize it has a two-thirds bias up and a one-third bias down. What that means is two out of every 3 years it's up and one out of every 3 years it's down. We never know which years are which, and that is the whole idea of applying the academic science and owning the entire marketplace, owning equities, owning companies in every country, emerging and developed markets, and realizing that we're trying to get market returns. We're not trying to beat the market. In fact, the vast majority of money managers do not consistently beat the market half the time. We only have about 15% of the money managers that beat the market from any given year to year, and none of them have been able to do it consistently. So when we look at investing as a whole, the reason that we do the market update periodically, every so often, is to simply show, look, this is what the market's done as a whole. And there's not too many places you can go, ladies and gentlemen, and just get a quick update as to how the marketplace is doing as a whole year to date. So that's the reason for a market update, with a little emphasis on the science that back up our very fervent and cultish, religious-like stance as it relates to the proper tenets of how one would invest successfully and avoid all the hype, all the noise, and all the other items that the panic, the greed, the fear, all those emotional filters that lead us to make imprudent choices. With that being said, once again, I'm Paul Nichols, the investor coach and host. Let's talk about the market update. This would be for February. That would be February 18th, business close. I'm actually recording it here on the 19th. So this would be as of February 18th, 2014, business close. We're going to look at several asset classes. We're going to start with small U.S. growth companies. So these are companies that are small U.S. and growth, not value, but growth-oriented companies. And year-to-date, about a shy of a percent up. Now, we had a rocky January. We had a nice bounce back in February, and we have captured back into the black in the small arena. But in other areas, we haven't. So let's move on to the Russell 2000 Index. This measures small to very small size companies, and it's just a hair in the negative, 0.08% year to date as of February 18th. Russell 1000 value, this measures large value companies, and it's about 0.3% in the red for the year to date. Russell 2000 value, which measures small value, not growth, but small value companies, and right now, it's negative 1.3% in the small value arena U.S. year-to-date. And when we look at the S&P, which is widely, S&P 500, widely regarded as the best single gauge of U.S. equities market, what we have is predominantly growth companies, 500, that's i.e. S&P 500 index, predominantly 500 large U.S. growth companies. And year-to-date, we are just a smidge down, a smidge. What is that? About 0.4% that were negative for the U.S. So we got some positive light in the small growth area, but in the other areas, just slightly down for the year. Let's move on to the international arena, which we use measured by the Morgan Stanley Capital International family of index or indice. Let's start with the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. And that really is designed to measure developed markets. And these would be developed international markets like Australia, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Greece. I've been watching a lot of the Olympics, so these flags are popping in my head as I'm reading this. But right now, we're just a hair in the negative, 0.03 for developed markets internationally. When we go into the emerging area, Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, that would be emerging countries, smaller emerging countries, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Egypt, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Korea, to name a few, negative 4.3%. So, boy, all last year we were rebalancing into the emerging markets and getting a lot of shares. We got a lot of shares in the emerging market arena because we religiously rebalance and we keep collecting them at a value, at a low, by taking some of the gains and rebalancing and picking up areas like emerging markets. When emerging markets turns, which it will turn, ladies and gentlemen, at some point in a well-diversified portfolio from the last year or so, you are really going to have a nice return in that arena. Morgan Stanley Capital International, the EFA. This is Europe, Australia, Far East. EFI, I've always called it EFA. I guess that's wrong, but EFI, a free-floating index which really looks at developed markets, excluding U.S. and Canada. And at this point, we're 0.26 to the positive. So we have some positive in the Morgan Stanley Europe, Australia, Far East, and we have some positive in U.S. small. The rest of the areas are slightly down, with the exception of emerging markets, which we have a hefty 4% plus in the negative arena. Well, that's our market update year to date, and you got to be in it to win it. It's a long-term. Investing is a long-term deal. It's interesting. We deal with retirement planning and insurance and investments and all the different things. We're a holistic firm, and it's very common that people will say to me, well, geez, Paul, you know, I'm kind of invested in this long-term account or this aggressive for illustration purposes. I'm going to retire next year. Should I take all my money and move it to conservative or pull it out of the market? And I always find this a little bit humorous, the way that we think about these things. Ladies and gentlemen, your money needs to last till you check out, not till you retire. I mean, retirement's going to be the beginning of a very long time frame, I hope, for you, where your market continues. Where your money continues to need market returns, keep up with inflation and et cetera, those types of things. So I hope that you're not skittish about the market. If you are, let me strongly encourage you to get some coaching. There's a number of books we can direct you to. There's a lot of information we have access to. However, you got to be careful, because we do not have a lack of information in this country. We have a lack of clarity. Oftentimes, people go out seeking information with all the sources we have today, which are plentiful, and they end up in information overload mode, or what we call paralysis of analysis. And often, when we get to that point, we revert to emotion-based responses rather than continuing to allow logic to prevail. So if you're not getting coached, get coached. If you have an advisor and you're not getting coached, then we wonder, what are they doing for you? Are they just transaction specialists, that is, providing the strategy or the flavor of the month for what may help your overall retirement plan? Or do they seriously have a plan where they're willing to stick some stakes in the ground, as we are here at Financial Abundance? Stand for something or fall for anything. One thing I will tell you with fervency and absolute commitment, that in my life, as it relates to the financial arena, if you're sticking to the science, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to worry about the periodic creative story to explain the current social, political, economic climate in our country. The science will take care of it in any of those climates. But unfortunately, our industry is heavily laden with transactions that are very profitable for the industries and many advisors that are part of it. And as a result, we don't kind of get the coaching that really should take place in this country. With that being said, let me move on, i.e., that's why you're listening, right? So congratulations to you. Kudos, as they say. Well, let's talk about Social Security. I get the question all the time. Paul, Deb, Ashton, here in our office, whoever, when should I start to take my Social Security benefits? Do I take them at 62? Do I wait till full retirement age 65, 66? Or do I defer to age 70? And how about my spouse? Now, it depends on your age, exactly which of these dates would apply to you. If you're a little younger, then those dates are going to be different. But I find that people are really asking the wrong question. It really becomes a question of how much one needs to maintain current lifestyle with inflation adjustments in retirement. I teach it on a regular basis. What's your number? What yield do you need to get on your portfolio to not run out of money by time you reach 100? Now, this answer is dramatically different depending on how much you've saved, how many years you have until retirement, how much money is currently needed to live on annually, how much money one would like to live on in retirement, how much will potentially be earned between now and when one retires, how are your taxes going to impact, how are potentially negative economic years going to impact, etc. An answer to this litany of questions are all compiled to create a math equation. And that is, what is it that you need to live on now, what you would like to live on now, inflation adjusted for the amount of years when you're going to start it, and how long it's anticipated, etc. This is a simple math issue. To summarize, what we need to do to get the answer as to when we take Social Security is to reverse engineer our retirement income plan. You see, only when we reverse engineer these plans can we determine definitively when Social Security should be activated for both you and your spouse. I will submit to you that you can go out there and do a lot of research on Social Security as to when you should take it and all. There's a vast amount of information out there. And there's really, I think you'll find when you assimilate and go through all that information and you come to some conclusion, that conclusion will be there's really no right or wrong answer as to when one starts it, because we don't really know till the final analysis whether or not that answer was correct. What is the final analysis? Death. How long you were able to collect it and the amount that you collected, etc. What's more important, though, is income, isn't it? Isn't the reason we get up and go to work and do what we do is to provide the security and livelihood that we would like to have? And isn't the whole idea of putting away and denying ourselves through the years to put money away for retirement, isn't that all about an income plan so that we have financial security in the future? Yes, it's totally about income. Well, then why are we asking a question that pertains to age? It's really about income. Either you got enough income to pull it off at that age or you don't. And if you don't, then you need to go a little longer till you can retire, or figure out how to put more in the coffer before you decide to pull that, or take less out of the coffer. I mean, it's really, ladies and gentlemen, a math question. So the question really that I'm going to encourage you to ask is, how much money do I need to live on annually? If you could get that number to me, how much money I need to live on annually, with a little more information and a relatively painless conversation, we can come to the conclusion as to when you're going to need to turn on your Social Security or when you may never need to. See, here's the thing. Caution, the do-it-yourselfer here. Caution. Warning, Will Rogers. Warning, Will Rogers. There should be light bulbs going off and sirens. The financial industry has become more confusing every year that I'm involved in it. And the primary reason for the complexity is our current tax code. Coupled with our national debt, the uncertainty as a result of that, our ongoing budget deficit, and that's all coupled with uncertainties that seem to be lingering in our current economic future as it relates to programs, taxes, and how they're going to pay for certain things. You realize, see, this industry that I'm a part of and I'm proud to be a part of is a very lucrative industry. It's a massively lucrative industry. And, you know, the finance insurance marketing machine out there creates billions of dollars in transactions and sales annually. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you can't watch TV for an hour and not see a financial commercial in that hour. It pretty much, it doesn't matter what you're watching. You watch sports stuff more like I do. You see it even more often, okay? The point is, it must be lucrative if they're advertising at the rate they're advertising. The retirement planning issues today have become very sophisticated. It requires more effort, knowledge, and expertise than at any point in our financial history. You know what's interesting? My parents, I come from very modest means. My parents, Joe Lunchbuckets, we used to refer, my parents thought of an investment advisor like me, or a registered investment advisor especially, fee only, as a luxury of the well-to-do. But ladies and gentlemen, in America today, in order for you to have a secure retirement and really obtain some peace of mind, it's not a luxury, it's an absolute necessity. Ladies and gentlemen, I have coaching in every area of my life that I don't specialize in. I mean, I get coaching in the area of medicine, whether doctor and dental. I get coaching from my mechanic. I get coaching from my plumber. I get coaching from different various professionals that we hire to be professionals. That's why you hire them, and that's why you pay a fee. Unfortunately, I see people, all Americans that are investing are paying a fee if they're investing. The question is, are they really getting coaching? And that saddens my heart. I say to my wife every so often, it just saddens my heart to see what happens in this country. There's a couple just walked out of our office today with one of my co-workers, an advisor here, and she was talking about some of the things they've done and they've been advised to do through the years, and we're looking at their income now being a stretch to get the number they need when we look at some of the wealth transfers that have taken place in the last 25 years based on some of the suggestions that they've gotten, that many of them were unnecessary, they were unintended, and they did it unknowingly and had no idea what the repercussions of that were going to be. So coaching, ladies and gentlemen, you hire professionals to get professional advice. And look, if you want to do it yourself, and you know, it's like kind of fixing your car. I think it's a starter. Well, let me go get a starter and put in it. Well, it's not the starter. What was it? Well, let's try the solenoid. Well, no, it's not the solenoid. All right, let's try the condenser. Well, no, it's not the condenser. Let's try the coils. No, it's not the coil. Maybe it's a spark plug. Well, hey, did you ever check to see if there's any gas in the tank? Oh. Well, you know, a mechanic would have probably looked there first. I'm making an extreme point here, you know, I'm being dramatic to make the point. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, these decisions that you make as it relates to payout and distributions of your estates and how you're going to take your income and your Social Security and the repercussions of taxes or the effect of taxes and other types of things, this is serious business. How much time and effort do you spend chasing the dollar? I submit to you, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir because you're listening to this podcast. You know, how much time do you spend managing that dollar? I'd submit to you to spend a little more time, and I hope that we're a resource for you. If you'd like to learn more or talk to someone in our office, call us directly, 814-867-5745. You can go to faicoach.com, faicoach.com, and check out recent blogs, request other information. There is a plethora of information, if not available on the site, accessible through the site. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, once again pulling back the curtain on the financial services and exposing the truth about money and investing. We appreciate your time. I appreciate your time, and it's a sign of respect that you listen to the show. I hope it enriches your life and it's not a waste of time for you. If you'd like to learn more about certain specific issues that we haven't talked about on our podcast, please email us and we will include those in future podcasts. Paul Nichols, President of Financial Abundance, signing off. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next time.